Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's first reading, we heard the Apostle Paul speak of the evil that dwells in his heart in spite of himself, in spite of his good desires to serve the Lord. He says, "For I take delight in the law of God in my inner self, but I see in my members another principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Romans 7:23. So there are people like St. Paul who want to do good, but at the same time, sin still dwells within them, and it comes out in various ways, in different ways. In the scriptures, whenever the people of Israel would stray from the Lord by committing sin, the Lord would liken that to them actually cheating on him, to them essentially having an affair. So whenever we commit sin, we're being unfaithful to God, as well as just like when a spouse is unfaithful to their husband or their wife. Social media is an area where a lot of sins, unfortunately, are committed. Nowadays, internet pornography is probably the number one offender. But unfortunately, even on Catholic websites, those websites can be occasions of sin for people desirous to serve the Lord. Posting daily homilies on the internet as we do, there are at times a number of comments on those videos which fall into the category of what we can call internet sins. And often the problematic comments are those which contain within them, as we've mentioned before, and we'll probably mention it again, they contain within them either rash judgments or gossip or slander or detraction, or when people just start needlessly arguing with one another, you know, one uncharitable comment after another. Unfortunately, these are all the sins that are committed, and they're all sins against our neighbor. And we know that any sin against our neighbor, our Lord attributes that as being a sin against himself. We gave a homily a few months ago entitled Satanic Religious Zeal, and the point of that homily was to say that when we commit any type of sin in the name of religion or in the name of defending the faith, that's not from God. You know, it's either from our fallen nature or it's from Satan inciting us to sin, or it's a combination of the two of them. And the sins that we were speaking of were those internet sins of rash judgment, of detraction, of slander, of gossip. The Catechism, number 2478, speaks in particular regarding rash judgment. It says this, quote, "To avoid rash judgment, everyone should be careful to interpret, insofar as possible, his neighbor's thoughts, words, and deeds in a favorable light," says the Catechism. And then it gives a quote from St. Ignatius of Loyola, who offers some practical advice. St. Ignatius says this, he says, "Every good Christian ought to be more ready to give a favorable interpretation to another statement than to condemn it. But if he cannot do so, let him ask how the other understands it. And if the latter understands it badly, let the former correct him with love. And if that does not suffice, let the Christian try all suitable ways to bring the other to a correct interpretation so that he might be saved," says St. Ignatius. So, first, what do? We make the effort to understand what someone says in a positive light, in a charitable light. St. Ignatius says that we should be more ready to interpret what someone says in a favorable way than in an unfavorable way. So that means that we need to learn to also have the openness to listening to others and the openness to trying to understand them. Then, if we can, we try to ask the person what they meant by whatever statements or whatever actions they've done. And if what they do or say is clearly wrong, then we charitably try to correct them. Notice how that whole discernment process is undergirded by the virtue of charity. That charity is lacking in some places on the internet because it's lacking in some places in our hearts. Of course, the biggest target of much of the criticism in the Catholic social media, who is it? Obviously, Pope Francis. People say that he's earned that criticism because of his ambiguities, and there might be some truth to that regarding some statements that he makes, but that doesn't give us any license to attack him. That doesn't mean that we don't have to listen to what he says or try to understand what he's saying either. I've even heard it said, and this is one of those comments, they say Pope Francis hasn't uttered any infallible statements as Pope so we don't have to listen to him. That's not what the Church teaches. That's not Catholic teaching. Speaking on the Magisterium, the Catechism says, number 892, states the following, and it's a little bit of a long quote, so bear with me on this one. It says, divine assistance is also given to the successors of the apostles, teaching in communion with the successor of Peter, and in a particular way to the Bishop of Rome, pastor of the whole church, when, without arriving at an infallible definition and without pronouncing in a definitive manner, they proposed in the exercise of the ordinary magisterium a teaching that leads to better understanding of revelation in matters of faith and morals. To this ordinary teaching, which means even when the Pope isn't teaching infallibly, to this ordinary teaching, the faithful, quote, are to adhere to it with religious assent. That's a quote from Lumen Gentium, which, though distinct from the assent of faith, is nonetheless an extension of it, says the Catechism. What does all that mean? It means that we have to have a spirit of religious assent to what the Pope teaches in his ordinary magisterium. The ordinary magisterium includes homilies, it includes general audiences, it includes encyclicals and apostolic exhortations, things of that nature. It does not include plain interviews or sit-downs with journalists, but still, in all circumstances, how does God want us to act towards his vicar? He wants us to have a spirit of reverence and respect towards the Holy Father and towards the shepherds of the church. Disrespecting the vicar of Christ is disrespecting Christ himself. Keep that in mind. And if there's something that the Pope teaches which is ambiguous or unclear, it's okay to say that, but we don't want to undermine his authority and undermine the authority of the Church by our comments and by our criticisms. So we need to be wise in the choices that we make regarding what we watch on the internet. If the news that we're taking in is undermining the authority of the Pope or the authority of the Church, or if it's caustic, or if it's excessively negative, or it's causing us to be angry or frustrated or discouraged, guess what? We need to stop watching it. We need to do that. Why? Because it's spiritually unhealthy. We won't be judged by God for what we knew or didn't know about all the ins and outs regarding, for example, the Amazon Synod. God's not going to ask us if we knew all the details of that, but we will be judged based on how we've loved our neighbor and how we've loved God, and also on what our attitude has been toward his church and towards his vicar. And we'll also be judged for how we've used the internet and the social media as well, whether we've used it for good or for evil. I know of a religious institute that was commissioned by the Holy See a number of years ago, and a number of religious within that institute and a number of lay people used the social media to attack the Pope and to attack the Vatican for the commissioning. So they attacked the Pope instead of obeying him as they had promised to do with their vow of obedience. And guess what? They're going to have to answer to God for that. So what's the solution to these internet affairs and the mass media mess? Well, the Apostle Paul, as always, gives us the solution. He says in today's first reading, he says, miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 7, verses 24 through 25. The answer is focusing on Christ. The answer is focusing on becoming a saint. That's the real adventure in life. It's becoming a saint. The real adventure is reforming yourself, not trying to reform others. It's reforming yourself. The more we manage to detach ourselves from all the negativity and all the gossip regarding the news in the church and in the world, the more we'll find that we're spiritually actually will be in a better place, and then we can focus on becoming the person that God created us to be. Praise be Jesus and Mary.